Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Wednesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory, a great selection of pre-owned inventory, may I add. And a great service department. That's there for your current vehicle, whether it's with the diagnostics, with the inspections, all the simple things, oil changes, you name it. They get it done for you. And you have a sales staff that's not just there for the sale, but they're going to make sure that you get a good deal. That's right for you and your future. It's all part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. We've got a loaded show today. Cam Rogers, golf analyst with the Believe Podcast Network, is back with us today as we are a day away from the U.S. Open. And, of course, lots to talk about still with the tournament itself, how things respond since Jay Monahan's comments on Sunday in Canada at the RGC Canadian Open. The first LIV tournament was last week. All this talk of the back and forth between the two leagues now. So lots to get into with him, of course. Then we've got Pete Jensen from the NHL Network. He'll join us today coming up from the Stanley Cup Final. First two games in Colorado as the Avalanche host the two-time defending champion Lightning. So we'll get his take on that. And then Brandon Short, former Penn State linebacker, NFL linebacker, is going to join us as well. Of course, he was in the big part of bringing in the new Penn State president. And he just made headlines of creating a new foundation honoring his daughter and unborn child that were killed in a shooting last year, so we can get into a lot of that with him. Plus, I'm sure Steve will want to ask him about his thoughts of where NIL is going at this point and how it's been affecting Penn State. So we got a lot to get to today. And that's not even all, because we saw a couple hours ago this come down, the Steelers finally giving Megan Fitzpatrick the big payday, making him the highest-paid safety ever. Five-year extension worth $18.5.4 million a year, or more than that, and $36 million signing bonus. So Omar Khan makes his first big splash as GM of the Steelers, wasting no time and making sure that he inks up Minka Fitzpatrick long-term, which was no surprise. This was coming regardless of who was chosen and when the GM was going to be picked for the Steelers. But it gets done quickly by the new GM and Omar Khan, and the Steelers finally get that out of the way, and now they can move on towards training camp officially. So that's there today. And getting back to the golf one second, I guess USGA CEO's Mike Wann addressed the media earlier today, and he was asked, could he, quote, foresee a day when players are denied access to the U.S. Open based on where they play. So, of course, example, LIV Golf. He says yes. And good for him for saying that. That is a big answer right there in terms of the board decision-making for any other PGA players that LIV tries to poach and bring into their side of things. I think all the rest of the major championships need to go in that direction and follow suit. I wasn't expecting an answer like, quite a direct answer like that, but that's a good move on his part, in my opinion. So that is definitely out there now, and good on the USGA to take a stance against that. So that's out there too. And we'll talk to Cam Rogers about that today from the Believe Podcast Network. As far as the Stanley Cup Final goes with Game 1 tonight, we talked about this briefly when the King was with us last week. He and I think we all actually all liked the Avalanche last week, but, man, after seeing the way that Lightning-Rangers series played out, the Lightning have had some strange things happen to them. They've fallen behind in series. They've come back to win them. The way they found ways to win. I think I'm leaning Lightning now, Steve. I don't know.
The Lightning have won 11 consecutive series. Do you know that?
I didn't know that, but that's no surprise.
I mean,
I didn't know the
11,
exact amount.
They've won 11 consecutive series.
There you go.
Nah. Which is remarkable. When the Rangers beat them in the first two games at Madison Square Garden, it was the first time in those 11 series that they had lost back-to-back games in the playoffs.
Right, that I did know.
In 3 years. Even more remarkable. I mean, the last team, you know. Okay, here's one for you. Name the last team to beat Tampa Bay in the playoffs.
It was the first round loss that they had.
Columbus Blue Jackets.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's right. That's why
it was first round, though, right?
Yes, first
okay.
round.
All right, Tampa I had half Bay that
was,
right.
Tampa Bay was heavily favored to win the Stanley Cup that year, and they lost in the opening round. It happens, but they haven't lost since. It's really remarkable what they've done. In an era where we've had a lot of really, really good teams win titles. I mean, really, really good. But no great teams. I mean, there are really no great teams that have won championships in the recent era, except Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's a great team. In their sport, they're great. I mean, are the Rams a great team? They're really, really good. Okay. I'd say the last great team to win in the NBA Finals would be the Warriors when they had Durant, when they won back-to-back. Great team. You may not have been constructed the way fans would want, but legitimately a great team. Baseball, when's the last great team to win in Major League Baseball? Like, really great. And probably the Red Sox in 18. I mean, they won 119 games between the playoffs and the regular season. But there really haven't been any great teams. Like the Yankees in the 90s, for example, when they won, right? The Yankees, that was a legitimately great team. Kept winning over and over and over. They're great. Yeah, we're in an era of really, really good. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with really, really good. The whole key is to win it. Like the Bucks, really good. Really good. Great? No, probably not, but really good. Toronto, great? No, but really, really good. Whomever wins in the Boston Golden State series, right, it's going to be another really, really good team that wins it, whether it's the Celtics or the Warriors. Not great. Tampa Bay, great. You win 11 straight series like that, you're great. It's remarkable. I mean, that's at least how I feel about it.
I agree. Even on your Red Sox comment, I agree. Because that was a great team.
Right. You know, but it's just, but there really are very few of them these days. I mean, we like to throw the word great around, and, you know, whether it's players or whether it's teams, and, like, you know, but no. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong. Hey, if you win the title, who cares? You know, doesn't matter. You won the title, everybody gets a ring. All right, here's an interesting story for you. After spearheading one of the most significant and well-publicized name, image, and likeness campaigns in college sports over the past several months, Miami mega booster John Ruiz is part of an NCAA inquiry into NIL practices. NCAA enforcement staff visited Ruiz last week as they try to gain a foothold policing NIL deals. Ruiz told Dennis Dodd of CBS it was very forward, clean cut. Nothing to be alarmed about. Very professional, very positive. Okay. The probe into the Hurricanes comes after the NCAA Board of Directors issued broadened guidance last month that defined collectives that facilitate NIL deals for prospects as boosters. NCAA rules prohibit boosters from recruiting athletes or providing prospects with benefits. Ruiz told CBS Sports that he would like to see schools approve entities involved in NIL deals. He also said the NCAA should require approval of agents or lawyers involved in NIL deals. The NCAA currently does not allow schools to arrange deals. However, several states have enacted legislation that allows just that. One of Ruiz's business ventures, a health company called Life Wallet, it's really kind of the suit's mantra, don't you think?
Get the lingerie on the deck, call the janitor.
Not the fact that it's a health company, but the fact that he likes Life Wallet. Made major waves in April by facilitating a two-year, $800,000 deal for Kansas State basketball player Nigel Pack. LifeWallet also reportedly helped arrange a deal for Arkansas State transfer Norkut Omier, who ranks number 14 in the transfer rankings. The NCAA's made guidance on NIL and clarification that collectives can be classified as boosters also carried a warning. The NCAA said it could review prior cases to pursue only if those actions that clearly are contrary to the published interim policy, including the most severe violating of recruiting rules or payment of athletes for performance. At least it's interesting. I don't know. It's something that should have been done ahead of time. They're playing from behind. Then again, I think I justify the NCAA.
Oh, exactly. This is not going anywhere. They're going to try to show that they're going to try to show their mighty sword once again, but then they'll fall back into their incompetent hole, and NIL is going to continue as it is for right now. This whole thing is a waste of time, in my opinion.
Well, I'm not going to call it a waste of time. At least it. Doing something. I mean, doesn't everybody want, you know, I think everybody's wanted somebody to talk to John Ruiz about all this because he's been so public and so forward about it. That's the interesting part. So, I mean, everybody's been like, well, you know, talk to him, do something. Well, they did. Okay. Okay. Now, I agree with you. You're probably absolutely right that zero will come of it. Like, see, we talked to him. Oh, great. Thanks. Got a lot going on the show today. We've got Brandon Short on the show today, Pete Jensen, Cam Rogers. We'll talk to Pete next about the Stanley Cup final going on. We'll get into some of the key players in the final with Pete as well. And because it is hockey, we will refer to him as Pierre. No?
Oh, my almighty!
Try and make him fit in. So, Pete's a longtime friend, so it'll be great to have him on the show to talk about it. Today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Here on the... And again, Pete is the next half hour, then Brandon. And just to confirm for you, then Cam Rogers, who will join us from Massachusetts. Staying down in Plymouth, by the way. And then popping up to Brookline. That's what all the big people do, you know. Pop up to Brookline. You ever been to Brookline?
Have not.
Do you know who was born in Brookline?
Would that be you?
No. No, no. President Kennedy was born in Brookline.
Ah, okay.
Yes. I'm driven past the home. Kind of a modest, by Brookline standards. The country club is the first ever, quote, country club in the history of this country. And one of the five founding members of the USGA.
Did not know that.
That's why I show up here, Matt.
Makes sense.
Right. Yes. So you feeling all right? Sounds like you got a little cold there.
It's just allergies.
Allergies? What are you allergic to? Staff meetings? All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, Pete Jensen, next half hour on the Stanley Cup Final as the Lightning go for their third consecutive Stanley Cup. Maple Leafs 47-49, Canadiens 56-60, Maple Leafs 62-64, Canadiens 76-79, and the New York Islanders from 80-83 are the only ones ever to win three in a row or more. And they have the explosive Colorado Avalanche. We'll talk to Pete Jensen about that, and then Brandon Short, followed by Cam Rogers. We're going to talk more money in golf. Always makes Matt happy.
Oh, yeah.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Maybe the budget is screaming, you know what? Maybe we need to go with pre-owned inventory. Well, you want to go with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. in your pre-owned inventory. It makes such a big difference in the buying experience. And you want a service department to pack it all up, and they do. Inspections, routine, oil changes, and, of course, diagnostics. They handle it all. It's one-stop vehicle shopping, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I know you were talking about our staff meetings earlier. Somebody said, what are they like? And I said, have you ever seen the movie Die Hard? All right, so let's
get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Thought I'd mention that. All right. Let's get to the Stanley Cup Final now. Colorado Avalanche, legitimately outstanding in the last couple of years, really. But now they make it to the final for the first time since 2001. Tampa Bay has won. They have won 11 consecutive series. So let's bring in Pete Jensen now. Pete, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
What's going on, Steve? Great to catch up with you. It's been a few minutes, right?
Yeah.
Since we last talked, but
way
a
too
lot
long.
Of change. We got through the COVID-shortened seasons, of course, and now we're going to have, I mean, let's be honest, the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Colorado Avalanche have probably been the two best teams in the NHL over the past three seasons combined. It's been a matchup I've been dreaming about actually happening. And it's finally here. Two of the true juggernauts in the sport. A lot of star power. Great to be on with you, and great to get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's get into something that is interesting, because Tampa Bay, to me, I think over the years, recently we've had a lot of champions that are really, really good, but nobody great. Tampa Bay is on the verge. I mean, Tampa Bay is that. They're back-to-back champions. They're a legitimately great hockey team. But they're also going to play the first two games in Denver. And I've heard nobody bring this up. What kind of effect potentially is altitude on a team that never plays at altitude? Because Tampa Bay doesn't play at altitude.
Oh, it's definitely a factor that nobody's talking about it. I was thinking about it this morning because I had family in Denver. And just when you go there, you know, you got to be hydrated. You got to give yourself a couple of days to adjust, really, to the conditions and stuff like that. So the altitude. So yeah, I think it's something worth mentioning. I don't know that it's going to be a huge factor. Obviously, the Avs are sitting pretty after sweeping the Edmonton Oilers. They had two sweeps this postseason, and I don't think that the rest will necessarily work against them, because that's been a team in the Colorado Avalanche that has dealt with multiple COVID outbreaks, tons of injuries. Even earlier in the year this year, so many injuries throughout the lineup, they were more than equipped to, you know, say move like their one of their best players, Mikko Rantanen, to the center position. And now that could prove really valuable, because Nazem Kadri, one of their best players, is injured. He might return at some point in the series, but they're not as fortunate as Tampa Bay is, where Tampa Bay sounds like they're getting Braden Point back, one of their top goal scorers, for game one tonight. So, yeah, I think it could prove to be a factor, at least for game one. But game one's going to have rest versus rust for the Avalanche themselves. Of course, the Rangers-Lightning series just wrapped up over the weekend. So maybe Tampa's juices will be flowing a little bit more than Colorado's, but it should be a tight one. Very unpredictable, as always, in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, Braden Point did work on the power play with Tampa Bay in practice the other day. It sounds like he's going to play, and there's very few players currently that, especially if it goes to overtime, he's the guy you pick to score that overtime goal. What does his addition mean to Tampa, to the firepower they already have?
It's huge. I mean, they went 9-2, the Lightning, without Braden Point. How they did it with lesser depth than previous postseasons. Of course, their whole third line from the previous two postseasons is not on the team anymore. They swept the Florida Panthers without Braden Point, so they're extremely difficult. They won four straight games against the Rangers after the Rangers had them on the ropes, right? after the first two games of the series, won four straight games without Braden Point. And you mentioned it. I mean, that's a great observation. If anyone has been their biggest closer in the playoffs over the past two-plus postseasons, it's Braden Point. He scored that five-overtime winner 2 years ago. He scored back-breaking goals for the opposition, kind of those, like, rip-your-heart-out type goals that has led to some big individual victories and series victories for the Lightning. So it's a huge lift, honestly. And maybe the line will change a little bit, but when Tampa Bay, with the expectation that they would probably get Braden Point at some back and at point at some point in this series back in the lineup, like, they're big underdogs, and I just don't quite understand it, because I feel like this series is very close to a toss-up. You know, for every McKinnon, you have Kucherov and Point. For every and Stamkos, for every Kale McCarr, you have a Victor Hedman. And then, of course, the goalie matchup is, I think, a big advantage for the Lightning with Vasilevskiy. So I think it's closer than the odds suggest.
Yeah, I was about to mention the Vasilevskiy factor, because I realize that part of this is Colorado has faced more firepower in the West. I mean, Edmonton has firepower.
Right.
No getting around it. But there's some. But it looks like, at least on paper, that Tampa has a huge advantage with Vasilevskiy in net. What do you think?
No doubt. I mean, the first round for the Avs, when they swept the Predators, they didn't even face Nashville's top goalie. They were facing the second and third stringers. UC Saros, had they had faced him, that's an elite goalie, but they missed out, and that was a good thing for them. Jordan Binnington was red hot, but then he got injured for the Blues in the series in the second round against the Avs, so they kind of got off easy a little bit there too. And then third round, they were playing against Mike Smith, who's a decent goalie, but 40 years old. I mean, that was a cakewalk for them. So they haven't faced anybody close in the playoffs to this point to Vasilevskiy, who just beat Shesterkin from the Rangers and kind of reaffirmed his status as the best goalie in the league. So that's a big matchup discrepancy, like you mentioned.
All right. So I was doing basketball in the Mullins Center back in November at UMass. And not only do they have the national championship banner up there, they also have a banner for Cale Makar up there.
Nice.
You know, a Hobey Baker Award winner and so forth. All right. We know Victor Hedman, obviously, is that steadying presence for everything Tampa does on the blue line. What kind of two-way player as a defenseman has Cale Makar become in this league?
Yeah, he's got, like, the speed and electricity offensively of, like, Connor McDavid, but he's just as responsible on defense as all the other top defensemen out there, whether it's Hedman or Roman Josi from Nashville or, you know, guys like that that are really stout two-way players. So he's really the full package. You mentioned, like, the Hobey Baker and stuff. Like, he might win the Conn Smythe if it ended today based on his historic performance in point production, like 22 points in 14 games after his five-point game in the clincher for the Avalanche against Edmonton. So, yeah, Cale Makar is the class of the league, not only just at the defenseman position, but even his offensive game stacks up to all the best in the game, whether it's, you know, the two guys in Edmonton, McDavid and Draisaitl, or Austin Matthews or Nathan MacKinnon from his own team. He's even surpassed MacKinnon on the Conn Smythe big board based on his level of production in the postseason, and MacKinnon's a forward, so it's really remarkable how far along he's come. He's still so young. He's only been in the league for a couple of years.
Because they play out west, and look, I mean, I'll watch games, but they don't, for example, for the fans around here, they don't play the Penguins that often.
Right.
For the uninitiated, tell us about Nathan MacKinnon's game, because I think this is a special talent that is an absolute star.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been a stud in the playoffs this year, and not even that many people are talking about him because of Makar's outburst and how well McDavid and Draisaitl were producing for Edmonton. But he's scoring nearly a goal per game in the playoffs with 11 and 14 games. He's a shots on goal machine for anybody looking at, you know, props and stuff out there. His shots on goal props are usually like sometimes like double what a normal player's props are, because he's got like 80 something shots in, you know, less than 20 games for the Avalanche. So it's been amazing to see him, his career progression. He's not the captain of the Avalanche. He's not the highest paid player on the Avalanche, but he's a super talented player that stacks up to any other player around the league. We've had McDavid versus McKinnon debates before for fantasy, and it usually sides with McDavid, but he's right there in that conversation. And he comes from the same area of Canada that Sidney Crosby's mm-hmm. from, and there are a lot of parallels to Crosby's game that he has shown in his development over the years too. So again, end to end, he's just as good as McDavid is in terms of like mm-hmm. bursts of speed, coast to coast goals. We've seen some of them this postseason already. It's going to be really fun to watch him. He's the most explosive forward in this series. So, and maybe if he blows up here, he could, you know, get the Conn Smythe if the Avs win. But again, him going up against Vasilevskiy, that's a big matchup because he kind of dictates the style of play on every single shift that he steps onto the ice.
How important will be the power play for each team?
Yeah, I think the power play for Tampa has bailed them out a lot in recent years, in recent series. We see, you know, that one crucial game against the Rangers in Game 3 when they were at home. You know, the Rangers played a great game. They were up 2-0, but they committed some costly penalties. Their discipline was questionable, and Tampa made them pay. Tampa's power play over the past three postseasons is operating like between 26% and 30%. So they're pretty much automatic. If you give them, you know, four or five power plays in a game, you're probably going to lose. And then the Avalanche on the other side have two great power play units that can match them pound for pound. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see these two teams, especially I really hope as a fan that we get to see not only Braden Point, but also Nazem Kadri, mm-hmm. who brings like that physical element to the Avalanche. And hopefully he comes back at some point in this series, because this could be a series with some really quality goaltending, but also gets high scoring at certain points because of all the offensive firepower on both sides.
So we'll do this two ways. We'll start with this. Tampa Bay wins the series if?
Yeah, I think if Vasilevskiy is, you know, going at like a 920 plus save percentage, mm-hmm. they'll win the series. It's really as simple as that. They have their big five healthy now that Point is back. So they got Stamkos and Hedman and Kucherov, who leads the playoffs in points over the past three postseasons combined. Steven Stamkos really coming alive lately. Yeah. He had a career year this year, by the way. Steven Stamkos, we think about him like 10 years ago when he scored like 55, 60 goals, but this was Steven Stamkos' first career 100-point season this year. So he's not half bad either. And he's like the third or fourth best player on the Lightning. So, yeah, I think if the big five is healthy for Tampa and Vasilevsky's playing up to snuff, they'll probably win this series. Vasilevskiy in the first round against the Toronto Maple Leafs was very shaky, but they just mm-hmm. couldn't finish him off, you know, with that final goal in game 6 or 7. That's the biggest problem, is like Tampa's so good with John Cooper and his adjustments that it's just so no team out there has been able to actually finish them off and slay the beast. So until somebody does it, I think they're still the team to beat out there, and they got the star power to do it.
When the Rangers won the first two games, that was the first time in years that Tampa had lost back-to-back games in the playoffs. Years. That is stunning.
It is.
Tampa Bay has now won 11 consecutive series. Think about that. They won 11 yeah. consecutive series. Now, let's flip it. Colorado wins the Stanley Cup if.
So, yeah, I think they might need Kadri to come back at some point. They're going to need their depth guys to really step up to the plate and deliver, whether it's Lehkonen, which they acquired him at the trade deadline, guys like Nichushkin, JT Compher that have come to play in big ways. At different points in the playoffs, they're going to need consistency from the bottom six forwards because, like I said, Tampa's great third line from recent years, Barclay Goodrow, Yanni Gord, Blake Coleman, they're all gone. And that's been a storyline all season. And all season I've been kind of saying, is Tampa capable of going on a deep run with lesser depth with all the hockey they've played? Yes, they are, and they did make another deep run to the Cup final here. But could it eventually come back to haunt them or catch up to them? Yes, and that's why my preseason prediction, which looks really good right now, it was Avalanche over Lightning. That was my justification for not having the Lightning three-peating because of that weakness in the bottom six. Now, some of these guys on Tampa Bay have exceeded expectations. Nick Paul, big trade deadline acquisition. Corey Perry has been in the NHL for so many years and still playing on first power play. Yep. And producing in the fourth line and stuff, but I wouldn't be surprised if that lack of depth from the previous 2 years comes back to haunt them a little bit, just because of the type of juggernaut team that they're facing in this round in the Avalanche.
Pete, always a pleasure. Great work, as always, and great to talk with you.
Oh, awesome to be on with you guys. Great memories from my time at Penn State, no doubt, and great to see it become such a hockey town over the past decade, right, since I left. Go figure.
As soon as you left, we'll build an arena. All right. Pete, thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Enjoy the Cup final tonight, ABC. It'll be a great scene.
Pete Jensen from NHL.com, one of the really great guys out there, does a great job analyzing the game. It's always great to have Pete back on the show. Let me give you at least a little perspective on what Tampa Bay has dealt with. And it goes beyond having to win Stanley Cups during COVID and so forth, which has obviously played a role. But they're trying to win three straight Stanley Cups in an era of salary cap and expansion. Expansion is something, for example, that the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NFL have not experienced in a while. And the NBA hasn't expanded since the Charlotte Bobcats, now Hornets, came in. The NFL hasn't expanded since the Houston Texans came in. And Major League Baseball hasn't expanded since, what, Tampa Bay and Arizona came in? The last time was in the late 90s. Well, the NHL has expanded with Seattle. They've expanded with Vegas, which means Tampa Bay lost players in expansion drafts. In fact, they lost their entire third line from last year. Gord, in fact, was a critical pickup by the Kraken in the expansion draft. So they've had to overcome between the cap and expansions in terms of roster construction. It's something that others have not had to do. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Matt has a series of complaints.
I do have one hockey-related complaint.
Oh, is it the size of the puck? As we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Army-Navy game is going to be played in Philadelphia this year. In 2023, it's going to go to Foxborough on the 250th anniversary of the Boston Tea Party. 24, FedEx Field, Landover. 25, to Baltimore at M&T Bank Stadium. East Rutherford in 26 at MetLife, and then back to the Link in 27. The idea being at MetLife in 26 will be the 25th anniversary of 9/11. So there you go. That's what's coming up. Minka Fitzpatrick, $76 million deal.